I told the story back when we used to go to Rockport Baptist. That's where Melissa was baptized. Oh, I remember stuff. I remember things that other people want to forget. Yeah, I remember that. I thought the preacher stood on blocks so he wouldn't get wet. That's what I thought. Anyway, when we was little, we went to this church just north of here, up Telegraph, Rockport Baptist. Yeah, and I remember my mom gave me, I'm pretty sure it was 10 pennies for a Sunday school offering. Not 4 years old, somewhere around in there. So we go to the Sunday school class, and the Sunday school teacher is passing around the little basket for the Sunday school offering. So I reach in my pocket, I pull out these pennies, and I pull one out and put one in the basket. And the teacher said, aren't you supposed to put all of that in? And I said, no, I think my mom wants me to keep it for later. True story. True story. Yeah. You know what? I was on the way over here this morning. I was praying last night, God, I don't care what you want me to preach, just show it to me. And on the way over here this morning, you know how you just get ideas in your mind and things like that? And this kind of jumped in my mind, and I was just kind of debating. I put some things together when I got here, some notes and so on, and was debating on what to talk about and on what I was going to preach this morning for the morning service. And so anyway, I thought, well, you know what, maybe I can do this. God probably has a reason for this, and I don't know what it is, but I'm just going to try to mind the Lord anyway. And after all, it's His Word, and I just don't think you can go wrong just sticking with the Word of God. Amen. So I'd like for you to take your Bibles, turn to the book of Job, chapter 14. Job, chapter 14. While you're turning there, the name of the village, I'm going to give it a shot here. Lemisigayo Village. Lemisigayo. Lemisigayo Village. And they're probably laughing at me for how I pronounce it. That's all right. Because when I was in Kilimambogo last year in Migori, I was laughing at them because they couldn't pronounce Hoggard. And Brother Mike Hutzel was with me, and you should have heard him try that one. Hoggard is English, and Hutzel is German, I think. And they had a time pronouncing that. And so anyway, when God confused the languages, He did a pretty good job, didn't He? Even when we try to learn other languages, it takes years to get the accent down. And some people just never do it. So anyway, but God's going to straighten it all out one of these days. Amen? Amen. Job chapter 14. And let's just kind of wander through the Scriptures a little bit. This was on my mind this morning. And we sang Revive Us Again. And this little deal here, this little teaching here, has a lot to do with revival. And what is revival? It's bringing things back from the dead. And I believe Christians are the religion that believes in resurrection. We believe in life after death. We believe that death is, to those who are saved and born again, death is not the end. It is not the end. It's an everlasting beginning is what it is. And so with that idea in mind, you know, just think of people that have been raised from the dead. Lazarus was raised from the dead. The widow's son, was Jesus raised him from the dead. When Jesus raised from the dead, there was about 500. The graves opened up. The ground shook and the graves opened up, and upwards of about 500 people came out of the graves and lived again. The Shunammite woman in the Scriptures, when her prophesied son died, you get a picture of that in your mind. He was the prophesied son, and he died, and the man of God went and laid on him and blessed him, and the child sneezed 7 times and woke back up from the dead again. And you just see that all through the Scriptures, life after death. And I mentioned this morning about the typology of sunlight. When the sun comes up in the morning, we are revived because the light is. We are children of the light. Amen? You probably know some people. And it's just very telling about their lives. And I'm not talking about people that work a late shift, but I'm talking about people who just stay up all night doing God knows what, and then you'll find them in bed all day long. You know what that is? They love darkness rather than light. They don't like the light. And you can just kind of see that in people. But anyway, every day when we wake up out of bed, it's a picture of us rising from the dead. In fact, the Bible, the King James Bible, actually uses the word sleep in the Scriptures in many places to refer to death. In fact, in one place it says, "They shall sleep the sleep of death." In 1 Corinthians 15, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And so this idea of revival is both prophetic. Brother Spencer here is going to be baptized this morning. And water baptism is, in fact, this fits in perfectly with what I've got here. Water baptism is a symbol of resurrection from the dead. He goes down into the water, it's a symbol of death. When he raised back up, Romans 6 tells us he's walking in newness of life. And it's a double prophecy. Number one, it prophesies what is going to happen with him. One of these days, death is going to come calling on him and his body's going to give out and he's going to die. But when the trumpet sounds, he's going to rise from the grave once again. He's going to live forevermore. And that's what water baptism symbolizes. It also symbolizes the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, who rose, who died on the third day. He rose from again, rose again. I believe also in the nation of Israel, the people of Israel, they are dead right now. They are dead in trespasses and sins. And one of these days, just like in Ezekiel 37, when Ezekiel prophesied to the bones, and then he prophesied to the four winds to come and breathe life into these dead bones, Israel's going to rise from the dead one of these days as well. They're not there yet. They're still dead. You cannot be alive without Christ. Let me hear you say amen. Cannot be alive without Christ. But I read this here several years ago, and it very profound with me, and I just kind of made a mental note of it, and I've referred to it several times. Job chapter 14, verse 7, I want you to look at there. It says in verse 7, "There is hope of a tree." I want you to think of the symbolism of trees, all right? There's a tree of life, a tree of knowledge of good and evil. There's a place here in Psalms we're going to look at here in a little bit. "He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of living water." There's hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again. How many has ever cut a tree down and then had to cut it down again years later? Okay? Them dirty things, you cut a tree down, get rid of it, get it off your property, and lo and behold, if you leave some root in the ground, okay, here it comes, all right? And God designed it that way, not just to aggravate us, okay? He designed it that way to show us something. He said, "There's hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease, though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground." You know what the stalk is? That's the trunk of it. All right? When you see in the Bible where they're worshiping stalks, you know what that is? They took a tree trunk, cut it down, and took the trunk, and they started carving God out of it. Here's what God looks like to me. They carved out an image of a God, and they're worshiping basically the trunk of a tree is what they're doing. All right? And it's this, boy, I could get deep into this. It's this idea, there's this occult, pagan, mystery religion idea that hidden inside of a tree is a dead God who wants to be brought back to life. That's the Antichrist, is who that is. And so get this image in your mind. They take a tree, and trees in the pagan realms are sacred. They take these trees, and it just looks like a tree trunk. But in the spirit that is guiding them tells them there is a God on the inside of this thing. So what do? They start pulling all that stuff off, and lo and behold, look at there. There's a God on the inside of this thing. And they kind of go hand in hand there. But anyway, back to the lesson. "Though the root thereof wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground," look at verse 9, "yet through the scent of water it will bud and bring forth boughs like a plant." Now, again, this springtime, have we been having some good rains? Amen? I looked out the yard this morning, and already, little bitty green grass blades coming up. All right? I'm not sure that winter's done yet, but we know spring is coming. Okay? What happens? The ground thaws. Those spring rains come in, all right? Starts falling down on the ground. And whatever's been in that ground, dead all winter long, what happens to it? It's going to lay there until what happens? The scent of water. And I was just kind of I was thinking of this verse on the way over here this morning. I don't know what made me think of it, but I was just pondering this idea. Let's say you've got some old dead seed laying there, and it's been laying. It could lay there for years, lay in the ground years. If it's dry ground, it'll lay there. There's something that activates the corruption process. Water. Okay? If you've got a seed, you put it up on a shelf or put it in a bag somewhere, put it in a dry place, that seed is going to stay the way it is for I don't know how many years. I don't know how many years a seed can remain viable if it's never planted. I don't know if it's 100 years, 1,000 years, or 4,000 years. I don't know. But you can have a seed from a long, long, long time ago, and it'll be in that state. It'll be dead until it's planted. Even when you plant it, if it's in dry ground, it's just going to stay that way. But then, all it needs is a little drop of rain. And that drop of rain, that water coming down on it, will start the corruption process on the outer shell of that seed. That shell is waiting for water. Okay? It's waiting for water. It's all it's waiting for is water. Those of us, if you've ever composted anything, you take all these leaves and grass clippings and everything like that, and you put it all in a big pile. If it's been dry out, that pile stay there for a long time. What happens when it rains, though? I'll never forget the first time I found this out is my dad caught the guys from the electric company trimming trees and branches in our neighborhood when I was little, and they had a big trailer full of it. Dad talked them into dumping that trailer full of that stuff there out in his yard. And, of course, I wasn't in on the decision to have all that stuff dumped in our yard because Dad told me, "Now, son, I need all that moved over to our compost pile." And it was a huge pile. That aggravated me a little bit. So I finally get out there a couple days later, and I'm shoveling this stuff out into a wheelbarrow. I'm taking it over there. And all of a sudden, I get into the middle of it and pull it out. And I mean smoke and steam and everything. And I'm going, "What in the world?" And I was telling Dad, "Dad, that stuff was like it was on fire." He's, "Yeah, it happens. That's compost. What it is, that rainwater gets in down there, and it starts rotting and corrupting and everything like that. It's just like it's on fire. And what happens is that breaks everything down, and then you've got some good compost." Well, just here's, think about it now. Think about the picture that God's drawing for us in our mind. You take this seed, and that seed is us. We have the seed of the Word of God in us. The seed of incorruption. Amen? It's surrounded by this outer shell that we call our bodies. Okay? And these things, they're nasty, they stink, everything else. But what happens is that seed and what's inside of that cannot come out until what happens? Until it's planted and the water hits it. Okay? That's what's in there. Okay? That's the picture and the symbol of it. That's why water, we use water instead of dirt to baptize people with. Amen? So anyway, that's what he said. He said, "Yet through the scent of water, it will bud, bring forth boughs like a plant." I don't have nothing on me. There's a verse, I think it's in Deuteronomy. Somebody pull up your tablet or your phone or whatever and find this for me. It's his doctrine. Look for the word doctrine in the book of Deuteronomy. It's all you got to do. And it talks about his doctrine distilling as a rain. And when you get that, raise your hand. Take your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Let's look at this. Now, I want you to make this analogy, this typology, relevant in your life. We know the prophecy of it. We know that one of these days, Christ is going to appear in the clouds and we're going to rise from the dead. I believe that there's going to be another flood on the earth, but it's not a flood of water. It's a flood of ungodliness. Okay? What place is that? D, you had it first, so you get the prize. Deuteronomy 32:2. All right. There you go. Then let me pull that up real quick. Deuteronomy 32. What'd you say, 2? Yeah. Let's read verse 1. Give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as the rain. My speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. That's how God pictures us sitting here in our Sunday school classes. That's how God pictures it. That's how He pictures us coming to church every Sunday, reading our Bible, things like that. God is going to give us sound doctrine. He's going to give us good things. He's going to give us His words that are coming out of His mouth, and they're going to descend down on us. That rain that we got Friday and Saturday, they called that a soaking rain. It was a slow, steady rain. It wasn't one of these big, heavy downpours, just slow, steady rain. And the ground's already soaked with snow and ice and everything like that. I mean, so it just filled up all the creeks and rivers in this area. And that's what it does. But it's activating those seeds. It's activating those roots that are in the ground. You look out and that grass just looks like it's dead as a doorknob. And it's not going to do anything. It just needs some water. And it needs a little sunlight. It needs both things going on. And it's going to come up out of the grain. But anyway, he said, verse 3, because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is our rock, His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is He. That word publish in verse 3 means to make public. I'm going to let everybody read it. When they would, back in the old days, they would write a big note and make a big bill, a big handbill, and they'd tack it to a tree or to a post somewhere in town, and everybody that could read walked by in town, and they'd see that posted there. All right? Now we have newspapers, we have published Bibles, we have different things on the internet and so on, and that's all good too. But he said, I will publish the name of the Lord, and His doctrine's coming down like a rain. In Ephesians chapter 5, look at verse, get my page turned here, look at verse, let's go back to verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word. So now you're getting an understanding here. And I want you to just think about what God is teaching. Well, think about the doctrine that He's sending down in just little gentle raindrops to your soul. Think about things in life that kind of turn dead. All right? Number one, people. People die. The hope is we can reach them with Jesus Christ. They can be saved. And they could put the pure seed, the incorruptible seed of the Word of God in them, so that when they die, we know for a fact they're going to rise again from that dead and live in the eternal, everlasting, new Jerusalem, new heaven, and new earth for all of eternity. Amen. Okay? So we know, we understand that picture. Think about, let's just make it personal with you. Your relationship with God. Your life living for the Lord. Okay? Let's be honest. Every now and then, from time to time, from season to season, it seems to grow dead. Let's just be honest. Okay? Everybody has these times where they don't pray much. They don't read their Bible. They just, I don't know, just kind of sit out of church for a while. Or if they'll come, there's not a lot there for them, okay? And it just kind of get into a deadness. Sins begin creeping in. Things that we shouldn't do, say, think, hear, listen, see, whatever, they start creeping back in, okay? And it just seems like things get dead. That happens to a lot of people. It happens, period. It happens to every born-again Christian. It happens. So here's what happens. God knows that it's dead. God knows that it's kind of like you sleeping at night. Not a lot going on. So just kind of think about this for a minute. All right? Think about Lazarus. I was thinking about Lazarus the other day. Been in the grave 4 days. What is it that Lazarus must do to be revived? Not a thing. He's dead. He doesn't revive himself. Seeds in the ground don't just determine to grow if there's no water. It doesn't happen. God just draws the picture. We all know this. You plant a garden or throw grass seed out. You got a bare patch in your yard. Throw grass seed out there. And what are you waiting for? Rain. Because you know for a fact that grass seed is not going to do anything until it's watered. Grass seed cannot raise itself up out of ground. Doesn't work that way. Has to be done by God. So here's what will happen. God will take you because He loves you. He cares about you. He died for you. He gave His Son for you. Think about it. Amen? The disciples come running to Jesus. Lord, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Heard Brother Red say, you see, that's the dumbest question in the whole Bible. Jesus' own people coming to Him. Don't you care if we perish? Of course He cares. That's why He was there. That's why He was in the boat that day with them. And He was down there sleeping. And Master, carest thou not that we perish? And so He went up top and said, peace, be still. And it was done and over with. Just like that, it all happened. So God cares about you. And what happens is, you ever seen these people do these little dances like Indians try to make it rain? Does anybody here really believe in that? No, that's a bunch of nonsense. God and God alone is responsible for whether it rains or it doesn't. God is responsible for that. Now, God can put it in our hearts to cause us to pray and ask, just like He did Elijah. At Elijah's word, it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then when Elijah spoke, all of a sudden, there it was. There comes a cloud. He said, see that cloud? Here it comes. It's like a man's hand. Here it comes. And that's what happened. But here's what will happen. God will take you and He'll start leading you to a place where He's going to revive you. He's going to come to you. And then He's going to start speaking to you. And all of a sudden now, things are starting to happen. Things are starting to change. Maybe, and think about it. God sometimes has to let some things die so that a better thing can come up in its place. Does that make sense to everybody? Even in life, it happens that way. Even in life, it happens that way. So His doctrine comes down to us. His Word comes down to us. And whereas we were out there and we just didn't really care, now all of a sudden, He leads us and we open our Bible up. Or the Holy Spirit will just begin to speak Scriptures to us in our minds, things that we've read a month ago, a year ago, or whatever. And all of a sudden now, we're starting to become alive again. Why? It was the water. It was the Word of God. And by the way, it's pure water. Amen? No acid rain in this thing or anything. But anyway, He's sending the water down. So I want you to think of places in the Bible that refer to water or talk about water. Turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I'll give you this little tidbit of knowledge that I have. You believe Jesus is going to reign for 1,000 years? Say amen. The Bible says He is. You know what the 1,000th chapter of the Bible is? You're looking at it. John 3. Okay? It's about the kingdom. It's about how you get into the kingdom. You must be born again. So here's Jesus, and He's talking to Nicodemus, and He says in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? We don't want that kind of birth. We've already had that one. The moment I was born, they whooped me. Amen. That was back in the old days. Now they just let them start crying. Back in my day, they whipped us. Okay? Smack. I don't want to go back in my mother's womb and be born again in this life and live this life again. Amen? So Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of, look at there, water, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. What do we say water represented? The Word of God. His doctrine, preaching. God chose the foolishness of preaching to save men's souls. Preaching the Word of God. So here's what God will do. God will send water to you. He'll cause it to rain. God will start pouring down little drops of blessing from heaven. Words that God's going to use to bless you. I get emailed every week from people. I get called. Sometimes I can take the call. Sometimes I can't. If I can take the call, I like to and visit with people and they'll tell me their problem. And you know what I'm going to tell them? When you get on the phone with me, I'm going to be your doctor. I'm going to write you out a prescription. 3 chapters per day in the book of Psalms, maybe 3 times a day if needed. Because they're telling me some problems they got going on. And sometimes I'm listening to them going, God, I need a little help here. Boy, I don't know about this one. And the Holy Ghost will remind me, Mike, keep it simple. Keep it simple. Give them Scripture. Give them the Word of God. You can't fix the problem, but I can. And that's how God does it. So it's the Word of God. The Word of God. Except a man be born of water, which is the Word of God, His doctrine, washed with the water by the Word, and of the Spirit. Notice how they're connected together. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 5. I usually like to keep all the verses in order, but I didn't really have time to do that this morning. I mean, I came in, sat down at my desk, turned my computer on, and just started thinking about verses in the Bible. It had water in it. If you have not downloaded and tried to use this Pure Bible Search software that Donna wrote for us, I'm telling you, that stuff, it makes my job easy, I'll tell you. 1 John chapter 5, are you there? Say amen. Look at verse 6. This is He. You know what, well, let's back up to verse 1 and kind of get the circumspect look at it. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? Amen. Everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. You know what His commandments are? There's two of them. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. You know what? There's no grief in that. In fact, the longer you are living for the Lord, the more love you have for the God that died for you and rose again for you so you could be saved. The more you love. What was it? Jesus forgave that lady of all of her sins. And He said, she loves me more than everybody else does. You know why? Because I forgave her of more sins than I did anybody else. And that's how it is. The more God forgives you, the more mercy and grace that He has on you, the more you love Him. Because you just shake your head and go, God, look at who I am. How in the world would you keep loving me and die for me and hear me when I pray? Why do you do that? Because I love you. And so we love Him back. Amen? We love Him back. And His commandments are not grievous. Whereas, if you were trying to keep the law, try to keep the law. Try to keep the Ten Commandments. Try to do it for 1 week. Try to keep the Ten Commandments for 1 week. Can you do it? Mm-mm. Guarantee you, your eyes are going to latch on something. Oh, wow, look at that. Okay? Happens. Every week. All right? But anyway, so His commandments are not grievous. Verse 4, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Now I want you to draw your attention to that phrase, born of God. Don't let anybody mess your head up in telling you that if you're saved, you should never sin again after that. They're not telling you the truth. He said that that which is born of God overcometh the world. But what happens to the natural man? He doesn't overcome the world. The world overcomes him, his flesh. When we buried my dad, the world, the earth, overcame him. His flesh is still down in the ground. Okay? But I've got hope and faith and trust. He's going to get a new body. Amen? So whatsoever is born of God, that's that inner man on the inside of you. That's Christ's second coming. That's resurrection day. That's the seed of the Word of God. It's just like we used this illustration a couple Wednesday nights ago of Sarah, 90 years old, carrying this new man on the inside of her. That's the picture of it. Sarah's not, she's an old woman, ready to vanish away. And yet she's got a new man on the inside of her. And that's that picture right there. That new man is what's born of God. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our works. No, it doesn't say that. It says our faith overcomes the world. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by what? Water and blood. Even Jesus Christ. By the way, you're born of water. Think about it. Your mother's womb was full of salt water, an ocean. You were in that, swimming around. Everything was fine in there. Then you had to be born. Amen? So you come at, you're born of water. What happens at your second birth? Scent of water. It's coming down. Isn't this good? Even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now verse 7. And if you have an NIV, you don't have verse 7 in your Bible. If you have a Message Bible, Holman Standard Bible, any of these other New English Version Bible, you don't have verse 7 in your Bible. Verse 7 says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one." Do you believe that? Say amen. Can you explain it? No. Okay. Well, there's three. No, there's one. Yes. There's three that bear record, and these three are one. I and the Father are one. Amen. I have a hard time understanding it, but I believe it. I believe every word of it. I've mentioned this before. I've read a lot of things people say about the Trinity, and the more they try to explain it, the worse it gets. Because they usually end up diminishing the Godhead. All right? And you just leave it alone and just believe what it says. "There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the what? The water." You're holding the water in your hand. The water is bearing witness that what God said is true. Does that make sense to everybody? The Spirit blows upon the water or whatever, and you have the water in your hand, you have the doctrine of God, you have His words, and that is bearing witness that what God said is true. And the blood, and these three agree in one. Now I'm going to kind of help you with this. There's one of the reasons why I believe 1 John 5:7 should still be in the Bible. The Bible talks all through the Old Testament, you'll see, and I'm going to call heaven and earth to witness against you. Have you ever read that? Okay, I don't have it in front of me, but you'll see that in the Bible. Joshua said, or Moses said, or God said, I'm going to call to witness against you. Heaven and earth is going to witness against you. Well, in 1 John 5, 7, and 8, you have heaven and earth witnessing. In heaven, it's the Father, the Word, or Jesus, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In the earth, it's the Spirit, which is going around this earth right now, the water, which is the Word of God, and the blood of redemption. All right? So these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which He hath testified of His Son. Turn to Revelation 21, verse 6. Revelation 21, 6. Look at this. "He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Doesn't cost a dime. Amen. Water should be free to anybody that wants it. You know what that means? That we don't sell what people need in order to be saved. We don't make them pay for it. It ain't right. Okay? It's just something ain't right about selling books and videotapes and DVDs. You hear these guys like Perry Stone, they'll talk about this amazing teaching. It's vital. This teaching is vital. You've got to have this thing. For $49.95 plus $10 shipping and handling. Can I tell you a little secret? The $10 shipping and handling covered both the shipping, the handling, and the duplication. The $49.95 is pure profit. Ask me how I know this. We do this every day here. Every day, don't we, Dee? Every day. We're duplicating, mailing, sending out, and the $10 more than covers that expense. And when you sent $49.95 plus $10 to whatever ministry that was, they got $50 pure profit in their pocket. Okay? I told y'all this. I got a call here a few years ago from this company that was marketing Christian DVDs to our church. They were talking about marriage, and she named all these names of these people that was on these videos and that. And she said, now we could send you a preview packet to your church for absolutely free. Keep it for 30 days. If you like it, then we'll bill you for it. I said, how much are you going to bill me for? But she said, $400. And I said, ma'am, let me tell you something. I said, I don't know who you are or who you work for, but I'm going to tell you something. I said, I know how much it costs to make a duplicated DVD, to film it, put it on disc, put it in the mail, send it out to somebody. I said, we're talking maybe $3, $4, $5, something like that, depending. And I said, what's the other $400 going for? She got off the phone with me. She didn't want to talk about it. But anyway, you study, I don't know if I did all this. Study John chapter 4. That's the woman at the well. Psalm 1:3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Trees that are planted by rivers don't ever dry. They never dry. Okay? You know what that tells you? Get yourself planted. Get yourself planted. You'll never dry. Now, you won't bring forth fruit every day. That's not how trees do it. They have a season. But you'll never go dry. All right? What else did I pull up? Man, I hate to waste all this. This is good stuff. Exodus 17. The children of Israel were thirsty. What did God do for them? He said, Moses, strike that rock and water will come forth. And Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 10, guess who that rock was? It's the smitten Jesus Christ. He was smitten for us. He was beat for us. And through that, when they pierced His heart, what came out? Isn't that sweet? So you just kind of think about that. When things get dead, let's say things in your marriage get dead. It happens. People that's going to live together long enough, you just kind of go, what am I doing with him or her? It happens. You know how to fix that? You need water. You need water. Let God bring this to your soul. And you know what happens after that? You start watering the marriage. You start saying things that blesses your spouse. And all of a sudden, things start getting a little bit better. They don't get better as long as you're going, you dirty so-and-so, you this. It doesn't get better that way. Start pouring some water in it. Amen. Father, thank you, Lord, for this good lesson. God, I don't know who needed this. Maybe somebody did. Lord, you